Props to that guy. That's Andrew Donald's in Michel. Not to be confused with Michelle. That's me, Dr. Michelle here. Welcome to bbstalkradio.com and On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Yep, we're on the couch every Friday and Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning here. And I welcome your calls. I have fabulous guests who always call in and talk about new ideas in psychology. And I welcome your calls as well at 1-818-602-4498. Today I have a special guest calling in, Mark Tomback. You heard that name? He goes by Mark Tomback. He's the author of A Modern Guide to Finding Yourself. It's called Spiriting Around. And I've been working in the concept of spiritual psychology for a very long time because I am a psychologist. And I really like to focus on helping people empower themselves. That's part of my therapy that I use. And even if someone says they're an atheist to me, I say, that's cool. I would like you to find the higher power within yourself. Because someone will always say to me, well, I'm not ready for this God spiritual power thing. And I say, find it within you. But we'll go into that in just a little bit. And also, once again, my special guest, Mark Tomback, coming up in just a little bit. He's going to share with you a lot of ideas. Why is spirituality so important? The book really was written as well for teenagers to quite find themselves these days. And that's a wonderful idea. And I think that's what we need, especially if you have a young adult or teenager at home. You know, they're searching. They have a lot of wonderful things at their fingertips these days. But they're searching to find the answer within. They're very spiritual. I think much more so than we were when we grew up. Let me also tell you that you can contact me through my website, drmichelletherapy.com. That's Dr. Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, therapy.com. Or, of course, you can write me if you'd like to ask me any questions. Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle, at AOL.com. So you can write me and ask me questions and say, what were you talking about on the air? Why doesn't this relationship work? Yeah, I'm known as a relationship expert as well. So we talk about all sorts of things that have to do with problems, why we create them, why we get ourselves into bad relationships, and how can we make ourselves feel better on the inside and go through some of the negatives. And what can we learn from that? That's also part of my therapy, too. What have you learned? Not focus on this horrible relationship and how painful it was. Yeah, we do that, too. But I also help people work through what did you learn from this experience. And that's part of the spiritual psychology as well, because we need to take it in. And we need to think about what we have learned from the negative. Right? What they always say is there's no gain unless you feel pain. I don't know about that. I think you can have a lot of spiritual awakening and really good feelings within yourself through the wonderful, good, loving, enlightened feelings because you want more. But when you feel the pain and the negative experiences, I truly believe you say, no. I don't like this. I have to change something. And that's why a lot of people come to therapy. But what's going on in this spiritual psychology thing and why now? Well, you know, change is taking place at an unprecedented place and pace on our planet. The nature of change, I think, is historically different from anything we've previously experienced. The enormous destructive power that we have in this world, now available to so many. And I don't mean to be a downer, be really negative and go there. But the world is being challenged to learn how to get along or pay the consequences, which could be extremely high. And the way that I feel about this is the way to truly promote peace is for more folks to dare to transform themselves within so that they experience greater levels of inner peace. Now, I'm not going the political route. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to say what we should do. But what I'm saying is that the world is changing. It's fast. We can communicate so well these days. Why aren't we communicating on the other side of the world? What's going on with that? Where do you change? You change within yourself. You change now. That's how you start the change. They say that, and I say, who are they anyway? People always quote they. I say that the only way that things are going to change around you, the only thing you're responsible for are your own thoughts and your own behaviors. And that's it. You can try to persuade people to your ideas, but you have to start within. So in order to get things changed, you have to start with yourself. And then other people around you start seeing the change, and then they pick up on that. And then it's like a snowball effect. So spiritual psychology kind of helps us to heal our own consciousness through self-development. Self. Go into yourself and find out what you need to learn. You know? It provides the tools and techniques for the process of kind of reflecting. The reflection that's used to empower folks to honestly review and learn from their own experiences. Like I said, we look at our own mistakes. So this is about learning from self and having the courage to own what we feel and what we've created. You got to own it. You got to be responsible. Right? The evidence of life experience and the words that folks use provide profound wisdom when we're open to its revelation. You have the willingness to work on yourself and look within, then from that place, you can go on, you can move on and learn and grow. So why do you keep making the same mistakes outwardly? Because you haven't looked within and found what you really want in your heart. You haven't found peace. And that's what we're going to talk about today, too. I always love to talk about this stuff. Now, last week, we also talked about teenagers and some of the negative influences out there, young adults alike, some of those negative role models out there, the ones who are in and out of rehab all the time because they're not happy folks, because they haven't found it. They're still looking for something outside themselves. So they want to get a little numb. And we talked about that. We had some great people calling in. And we talked about the role models that are not necessarily positive. Just because people are financially well off and they're in the media and they're successful and all that doesn't really mean that they are happy people, as we found out very obviously. So how do we get people to be happy people? They go within. All right. So let's check it out. Let's see if our author, I believe our author is with us. Let me go online here and pull him up and see if we can do it. Hello. Good morning. Is this Tom? I think we have a line open. Tom, can you hear me? Let me try once again. There we go. Hey. Good morning. Hi. Who's this? I think we're having a little technical problem here on the phone line, but let's see if I can pull him up again. Got a call going on, and this is our author. Once again, we're having Mark Tomback, the author of A Modern Guide to Finding Yourself, which is called Spiriting Around. And we're just looking to see if we can pull him up on the line. I know he's calling from Florida. Anyway, we're going to ask him lots of super questions about his book and why he wrote this book, basically. And I'm also going to ask him how it applies to a lot of young adults and why people have trouble accepting their own responsibility and spiritual responsibility within themselves. So we're going to try to find that as well. But anyway, I was talking about spiritual psychology. And Sam is still pulling up our caller on the line here. You know, the evidence of life experience and the words that we all use provide profound wisdom. We just have to be open. And you know, when we peel back the layers of our discontent to find the happiness within, it's difficult. It takes courage. It's really hard. And I'm not talking about putting down yourself. I'm not talking about self-hate or problems or anything like that. I'm basically talking about being able to just accept and forgive as well some of the mistakes we've made and who we are. So that's what it's about. We're going to see if Tom's on the line with us now. Or Mark Tomback, rather, is on the line. Hey, Mark, are you there?
Hello, Dr. Michelle. How are you today?
I'm fine.
And hello to all your listeners.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to have you with me.
And, thank you.
I was checking out a lot of information, and I'm not finished reading your book, so I promise I really want to get finished with it because it is really compelling. Once you start reading it, it's a very comfortable read. And it's really easy to understand as well, but it's also intellectual, and I think it's a very helpful book for a lot of teens, young adults, and adults who are really kind of out there flailing, you know?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think so. So Mark's book, again, it's called A Modern Guide to Finding Yourself, Spiriting Around. And, you know, maybe you can just start off by helping us understand a little bit. Why did you write this book? What kind of instigated you starting to create this?
Well, the truth is I wrote a book because I had a miserable life. Starting when I was about, I guess, 14 years old, I began seeing a succession of psychologists and psychiatrists. Mm. And then I finally wound up in a mental hospital when I was 20 years old in 1970.
Oh, I'm so, sorry, Mark.
It was very troubled time. And
yeah.
About a year after I got out, I was there about two and a half months, I made a commitment to myself to heal myself.
Yes.
And I carried this on passionately for the next 20 years. And really, when you do anything passionately for a very long time, you learn a lot about it.
Yes.
And spiriting around is the result of that.
So how long are we talking about? Were you really involved in that spiritual quest?
Well, it's a funny thing. I always had this into my own spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds funny in a way, but I really had a sense of my spirituality when I was about 8 years old. And
wow.
It's not such a foreign thought, because if you hear the pet psychic talking about it, or a lot of people with psychic experiences, they really start that early.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say is that it's not uncommon for anyone to either want to be a dancer or a mechanic or a pilot. But at that age, people start really kind of feeling their inner ambitions.
Yes.
So it's not such an unusual thing to have those thoughts at that age. And the funny thing is, I always thought it was going to be about young people and teenagers. And, you know, when I got to about 45, I was wondering what happened. You know, I hadn't written a book yet.
Right.
But, What really led me to physically write the book was I was staring out the window one day, and this thought comes in my head that people are suffering, waiting for the information that I had that I could share.
Yes.
And so all of a sudden it wasn't about me anymore. There were other people involved, and I felt that responsibility to them, and I went over to my desk and I started writing the first draft. That's actually how it happened.
Oh, that's wonderful. So what you want to give us just kind of a synopsis of basically what spiriting around is about? How do we find ourselves?
Well, spiriting around, the basic structure, it's about money,
mm-hmm.
and it's about love,
mm-hmm.
and it's about personal purpose,
mm-hmm.
and it's very much about paradoxes that life forces on us, because often our values crisscross. And then it's about the compromises that each of us make in our choices that frame our values. So,
mm-hmm.
I wrote it as a guidebook for growing up. Really, as a guidebook, because growing up, I had a lot of opportunity and I had a lot of love in my house. Well, from my parents, anyway.
That's neat.
But I didn't have guidance.
Yes.
And you know,
yes.
I think if you bring that up, this is going back 40 years. If you bring this up into modern society, where you have two parents working, or you have a single parent household,
mm-hmm.
and you do your best to put the food on the table and keep a roof over your head, and you sacrifice a lot, not because you want to, but because you still have to live. You want to be a loving human being to your
exactly.
family. But part of that is making sure everyone eats.
No, that's really true. So when you're talking about there's really not enough guidance, it's you feel the love, you felt the love from your parents, but they were very busy and they were out there, you know, they didn't give you a lot of guidance. Maybe you were left on your own a lot, which, like you said, a lot of young adults are, a lot of teens. They're just kind of, you know, left to figure things out themselves a lot of times.
It's very true. You know, in modern society, it used to be like when I grew up, maybe you knew 100 people, maybe
mm-hmm.
you knew 8 or 10 in your local clique, and you
mm-hmm.
knew people at school or hanging around the corner. But today, with all these social networks, you can know thousands of people.
Right.
And it's a mixed blessing, because there's a lot of confusion because you're dealing with a lot of young people,
mm-hmm.
but also there's a lot of honest expression that didn't happen 10, 20, 30 years ago. Let me tell you one funny
yeah.
thing. I have a MySpace page.
Right.
And I like to keep it diversified with different religions and different ethnic groups and
sure.
different philosophies and cultures. So I had a goth I invited to my friend, and on her page it says, come over to the dark side.
Oh boy.
We have cookies.
So, I like that.
So the interesting thing is the common thread
right.
that all human beings have. I think you're going to have more male-female relationships than any culture. I think whenever you get, it doesn't matter what race, what religion, what background, what the philosophy, the male-female thing is always like primary.
Yes, yes, I agree.
So what I'm saying is yeah. people have the same desires and dreams. They want to make sure they can pay their bills. They want to make sure they have enough money to invest in their
yes.
dreams,
yeah,
to have this big feast they see on TV and mm-hmm. to make it part of their lives. But especially young people, mm-hmm. they don't have the resources.
No.
But they are new adults. You know, once you're in at 18 years old, states say you're responsible.
Mm-hmm.
You're kicked out of foster support system. Mm-hmm. Not 100%, but you don't have that foster family
yeah.
anymore. You have to all of a sudden you have these adult responsibilities. Which, you know, adult responsibilities are interesting because they never change. When you're a new adult, you have the same responsibilities as someone in their 80s or
That's
in
right.
their 60s. You have to create resources. You have
exactly.
to create positive relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to see what's this inner drive. What's the love in your heart telling you to do with your intelligence, with the creativity you have to make any alternative appear in your life through hard work and effort. You really have to learn that too very well.
I think that's so important. What I'm seeing with a lot of people who call me and come in to see me is, especially the younger people, the teens and the young adults, I think they have, like you had mentioned, I think they have a better chance of doing that because I really do think there is kind of a return to the 60s and 70s, the feeling of the love. There seems to be no bias in a lot of the clients I have. They are colorblind. They are, you know, religion blind. They have lots of different types of friends and they embrace them. Do you see kind of a return to the 60s and 70s in that psyche of a lot of young adults and teens?
I see this as the accomplishment of the 60s
mm-hmm,
and the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, things do not, you're not going to change somebody's mind very
right.
often. You might change the children's mind, not so much with your argument,
yeah.
but the truth of what you do, what they say about themselves.
Yeah.
And
what,
you know, there's a lot of tragedy.
Yeah.
My words are not going to heal
right.
so many people who suffered to create what we have today. Many people suffered drastically, their mm-hmm. family suffered drastically and that cannot be minimized.
No.
But they did succeed.
Sure.
They, you know, people succeed over time and this, no one's gonna say that everything's fine and all races like each other and everyone loves each other.
Right.
But this magnificent country, this America, this miracle on this planet has given us the opportunity to, you know, the tragedy 150 years ago with the Native Americans
right.
and now we found a way to put money back in their pockets. You cannot return a culture that's been destroyed.
True.
But what we can do is respect them as human beings,
yes.
which really wasn't done years ago.
Exactly.
And
I agree.
And all oppressed people, it's an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
The two things that are demanded of them and that are withheld from them are education
mm-hmm.
and opportunity.
Yes. Yes.
So this is what we, as a diversified culture, as a culture respecting the weaker ones in our culture,
mm-hmm.
we can give them opportunity and we can give them an education. You can't give them sometimes you have to. Sometimes people are weak and they just don't have the ability.
Exactly.
But as a social structure, it's like a wagon wheel.
Yeah.
With each spoke, if there's a damage, if there's a break, any part of the wagon wheel is not going to function well.
Oh, that's right.
And it doesn't matter how perfect everything else is.
It's really true. It's that whole philosophy that we are really truly all connected.
I agree. And mm-hmm. and this goes, you know, the we have a culture that really works. Everyone's going to say it's bad and this and
sure.
you know, life goes 100. You know, it's not one step, two steps forward, one step back. It's more like 100 steps forward, 99 steps back.
Right.
But it does move forward. If you look at the history of
yes.
of the world, it moves forward. And there's growing pains. There's There's horrible things that happen,
yes.
But then the world recovers and we move it a little forward.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and this diversity, you know, they love their kids in the mountains of Tibet, and they love their kids in the jungles of the Amazon. Let me tell you a little story how I learned about the importance of diversity. I'm watching one of these science shows.
Yeah.
And it's in the jungles of the Amazon. It's huts, just a thatch roof, no walls, and the people swinging in hammocks, and there's just like monkeys and dogs and naked children.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman is going speaking in her native dialect,
mm-hmm.
and you know, blah blah blah. And I'm starting to laugh at how dumb this woman is speaking like this.
Mm-hmm.
So then the translation comes underneath, and it says, my son got married, and his new daughter, my daughter-in-law just moved into the house,
uh-oh.
And she won't cook, and she won't clean, and all she does is eat and lay around the house all day. So I realized my preconceptions
yes.
of this person's experience
yes.
living in the jungle, which must be perfectly adapted for the jungle.
Of course.
Her relationships
yeah.
are human being relationships. They have nothing to do with what your culture is. This is the love people have between us each other, and this is the mutual respect and the caring
yes.
that people have between each other.
I agree completely, Mark. And you know, there are universal relationship concepts, like you said, no matter what culture, ethnicity, no matter what, there are these concepts of just relationships that we have to you know, deal with and create and make work, and so that is a really interesting story, and it is an eye opener too for people who, you know, it kind of stops us when we have experiences like that and we judge, you know, possibly another language or someone's facial gestures, just something else off to the side. But I mean, instead of, you know, just assuming, and then you really have to hear what they're saying and where they're coming from. So it is kind of a universal thing.
And there's great cultural contact
yes.
Today between the Oriental culture
oh, yes.
and the Western culture and the Middle Eastern culture. And a lot of this is what we're living through right now.
And I think it all makes for a wonderful experiences and more enlightened beings, because you can be open to all cultures and all religious beliefs and allow for them.
I'm with you 100%.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we have all these different religions, and I read someplace that there's 4,000 different religions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the important things about the variety of religions, it goes back to love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the love that parallels every religion, because I think each religion does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It tries to define what love is and the meaning of right behavior, responsibility to yourself and to your fellow human beings and to God.
Right.
And I think what you have to ask yourself is does love lead to right behavior? And I think most people would agree that it will, a sincere love. Or does behavior lead to love? And I think, you know, a lot of religions are centered behavior. And I think the important thing, the critical thought with will behavior lead to love is sincere intention.
Yes.
If there's a sincere intention that it does lead to love, that is the goal, then it can. Then a particular behavior can work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the behavior itself. It's
yes.
that desire and that sincerity.
I completely agree with you. And, you know, I use a lot of so-called spiritual psychology. And again, it's not religious per se, but it is the concept of finding within you the goodness that you're putting out to others. And it is that so-called love concept. And for me, what I try to teach the folks, which seemingly is in line with your philosophy, is that that's pretty much the highest, if you want to say, vibration or godlike or, you know, some spiritual source. That's the highest level that we can get to as beings, is that love, is that feeling of just unconditional non-judgment, and the love that we feel for not only our families, but that we can allow for others. And that's a big part of it as well. And I try to teach that.
Absolutely. It's the essential feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's the essential, I don't know if feeling is the right word for it, but see, love is the essence of spirituality.
Yes.
Love identifies spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And love is also the basis for every experience we have on Earth. Love is the measure of life. It's the love you create. It's the total, the combination of the love you give and the love you receive.
Exactly.
This is the measure of your life, and if you see that it's love being the basis of every experience, then you could think that God is everywhere in everything.
I agree completely.
And that means you can have a relationship with God in everything you do, in mm-hmm. every moment, in every thought, in every action, no matter how mundane, no matter how plain. When you touch love and your desires, you include God in your life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you can use love as a part of analyzing your plans. And a lot of people are not going to agree with this.
Yes.
But I just ask people to consider it. You know, people need proof, and it's
exactly.
very reasonable that people want proof.
Right.
But if love is going to work for you, you're really going to have to use it. You
yes.
have to employ it. You know, make it prove itself to you. And I think God agrees with this. God knows things have to be, you know, it's a practical, real world where we want a response for our actions. But I ask people to consider it, use it, employ it, let it prove itself.
Right. I just got an email, a live online email from Kendra. And she's writing us from Colorado. She says, she's listening to the show. She said, author Mark, are you talking about religion? Is this a religious book that you are preaching to us? Sorry about that, Mark. I'm just reading you.
No, that's fine. No, I appreciate the
okay.
question, Kendra.
Now,
if this is the thought in your mind and your consideration about the book, yes, absolutely, you should ask this question. It's not about religion. It accepts all religions. I really love all religions, and I love them equally because, like I said, I like people who want a relationship with God. This book is a practical look at life. It's a
yeah.
life skills-oriented book, and as part of it, it brings spirituality and a sense of a responsibility, a relationship with God into it. And it's from a spiritual standpoint, absolutely.
Right.
This is a part of the book. It's spiriting around. But it does not... It's not a religion in itself. I ask people to think for themselves. I want people to think. I want people to have conscious values.
Right, right, right.
And you have to ask yourself, and frankly, Kendra, I don't care what your conscious values are, as long as they're sincere in your heart, and you can attach them to any religion you like, any religion that you resonate with, that you find harmony with, that answers the questions in your life, that gives you comfort, do that.
Mm-hmm.
But please be conscious about that.
Right,
and,
right.
And so that's it's about spirituality, having a sense of your spiritual self, getting in touch with your soul, but it does not promote any religion while it promotes all religions. It even promotes atheism, not in a practical promotional way. It's not in the book to promote these things,
right.
But as it promotes individual choice and individual conscious, a conscious responsibility, then if anyone who has a sincere value and it's in their heart and they
okay.
thought this out and they said, this is it, and, you know, that I reject,
right.
that I reject, this has meaning, I'm okay with that.
I love that. Okay, Kendra, I hope we answered your question. I hope Mark successfully did that. He did for me. I'm pretty well on that. We have an instant message here coming up now from Justin, who is writing, looks like Nevada. Looks like a Nevada. Is it? Yeah. And he says he's been very depressed a lot of his life. He's had a lot of psychologists. He's had medication. And he wonders, how can he find love when he's been so depressed? How can he get up? What? How can he get up the feeling of love when he's been so depressed for so long? And that's Justin.
Right. Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm not a doctor, but I'll talk to you as a friend. What's your name again? What's the name?
Yeah, it's Justin.
Justin. Mm-hmm. I apologize, Justin.
Oh, that's okay.
I've got some good news and some bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Life's hard. Life's a pain in the neck. Mm-hmm. And what you're going to find is there's only two main problems in life. It's uncomfortable and it's confusing. So you are not alone in this need for more love in your life, in this sense, this desire, this crying out in your own heart for communication with another loving being, another loving soul. And if you've noticed anything about music in the last 500 years, 99% of songs are about life and love and communication. This is the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens is, we're born with inhibitions. We're young. We don't know how to get by in life. And one of the graces that God gives us is inhibitions, because they're meant to protect us when we don't have, when our common sense, when we have not developed our own common sense to the point where we can employ it in important situations that require choices. So,
right.
First of all, you have to realize that you don't have an unusual problem. What you actually have, as uncomfortable as it is a common situation. It is part of life.
Right.
So, it's important to learn self-love, and you have to learn it. And the unusual thing about how people love themselves is it's the environment that life presents is one of both conflict and cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to learn to say, I'm sorry, I wish I could give you an answer that would cut to the quick, and you'd say, gee, I've realized the truth. There's lots of problems. You know, not one problem. You know, very often we form habits. We form habits about our beliefs that protect us when we're 10 and 15 years old. But as you mature, these habits are a burden. And you have to develop. Maturity takes time.
Yeah.
So there's three important things when you look at yourself. You have to be honest with yourself, Justin. You have to be honest with yourself. As honest, and you have to be sincere about it. And then you have to be patient and kind to yourself, because if you're truly honest with yourself, you're going to see a lot of things about yourself you don't like, that are uncomfortable. And I'd like to say, boy, once it dawns on you, this thing, it'll be gone. Well, it's the beginning of getting better. And if I could tell you it'll take a month or 6 months mm-hmm. or a year, I'd be lying to you. Yeah. It might take you 6 years. It might take you 10 years. But once you notice this thing sincerely that has burdened you, it will start getting better immediately, and it will never be that bad again as it was when you didn't understand it. So life takes time. You need a lot of patience in life.
Yes.
And the problems you have in your unhappiness with your relationships are going to take a long time to heal. But if you make the commitment, you will heal them. And I can't take the pain out of your life, Justin. Life has a lot of pain. But mm-hmm. but if you consider bringing God into your life,
mm-hmm.
if you consider asking God, I'm having these problems. Would you help me out? Keep it as simple as
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
As you become sincere, as you touch that sincerity, as you move away from the mental question asking God and the emotional question, and you reach down into the sincerity of your own heart, that sincerity is going to reach God's ear.
Right.
And you just have to be patient. I'm sorry. This is life. The tougher it is, the more uncomfortable you are. It's just hard. You just got to, you know, you got to tough it out. I'm sorry, Justin. If you really feel miserable, you know what you can do? So if you want instant success, go get yourself a nice meal. Go buy yourself a shirt or play a game or do something. Treat yourself nicely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be responsible to yourself in the way you love other people.
Exactly.
You can't just lay it out there. You have personal dignity, which must be respected. Now, everything I'm saying, it's great. I just said it in 5 minutes. If you can pick out one concept that kind of touched you and apply it, and also you have to understand your life is going to grow. I don't know how old you are, but no matter, you're going to go through positive relationships, you're going to go through negative relationships. You see on TV all the, this one's divorced and this one has that problem and this problem. You have to have a sense of, you know, the rock, very much many religions.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they go to God, because life is
exactly
so complicated.
Right.
But it does get better. It will get better. Even the most difficult things, and some people have some horrendous problems. You know, if you see some of these people are hospitalized with difficulties, you know, I used to tell myself that when I was starting to feel sorry for myself, I would think about people in war and the abject misery. You know, you move yourself away from the spectacle of it and think of the horrors of losing your family and losing and being injured and losing your home and having to leave your country. There's a lot of worse things. So you have to keep things in perspective.
Oh, thank you so much, Mark. And thank you, Justin, for writing. And I really hope he touched your heart in some way and gave you some really good information. By the way, let me just take a little break here and tell everybody we are talking to Mark Tomback. And he's the author of the book, A Modern Guide to Finding Yourself, Spiriting Around. And it's really for a lot of teens to read, and it's about the process of growing into being a mature spiritual adult. It's also for adults. And, you know, Mark and I were just answering some instant messages here on, you know, via the internet radio. But that's really an important concept. I agree with you, Mark, about especially pertaining to this young man, Justin, A lot of young adults, a lot of teens who come in to see me, they say, my gosh, I've been so depressed. I haven't had a support system. It's been really sad. And all those concepts you discussed, forgiveness of self is a biggie too, and that's part of the love. I know that a lot of people out there have had a rough life. I know it's difficult, and even if you're a middle-aged person, you look back and you, oh my gosh, I've been on antidepressants for so long, and you need to every day start to writing and taking care of you and taking responsibility. Like I said, the only things you can control pretty much are your thoughts and your behaviors and those spiritual thoughts towards taking care of you. And I also encourage, you know, writing daily affirmations. I'm sure you're in agreement with this as well, Marka. And the daily affirmations are the positive things. I choose to be more spiritual. I choose to be more loving. I choose to, and daily, several times a day, write what works for you down and verbalize it and live it and forgive yourself and a lot of those others and move on and do things that will make you a better person every day. So,
you know, what you just said, Dr. Michelle, about affirmations, absolutely wonderful. And, you know, when you look for tools in your life and trying to change your thoughts, you know, there's not a lot around.
Right.
But the affirmations are the tool. And I have this kind of glorified way I explain it. I say it's, you're training your mind to trust itself.
Exactly.
And it's just like any other exercise, like a physical exercise. You take a barbell and you lift it 10 times a day for 20 days. And at the end of 20 days, your arm feels stronger.
Right.
And that's how affirmations work. You're training your mind with a repeated pattern of a thought, and you're removing a negative thought, removing a harmful habit thought, and you're replacing it. You're pushing the negative thoughts aside and replacing it with a positive thought, and they stick. You're creating positive habits. So those affirmations, it's such an important thing that you said, Dr. Michelle. They change your mind. When you don't have the common sense, the kind of analytical ability to pick out thoughts and work out the emotions, which is extremely difficult. An affirmation takes the mental work out of it, because and writing things down are another great idea. When you write things down, you see them and they don't disappear. They don't fly away in the next thought. You have them down. And I remember in selling, they say about Brian Tracy was talking about the Benjamin Franklin method of making a decision,
right,
which is to make a list of all good things on the left hand side, all bad things on the right hand side, and then you just list them without judging them, and then you take a look at it.
Right.
And that's another tool. You could be the question.
No, exactly.
You know, that's the physical tools. They're rare.
Right.
So that's why affirmations are important.
I agree. And writing those things down are no-brainers, really. They're pretty easy in terms of what you would say to yourself. I always have patients look at how would they talk to themselves if they were the good parents they always wanted to have. What would they tell themselves? They tell themselves, don't judge yourself. Try to love yourself and just take every day at a time. Every experience you have, don't go there from a negative point of view. Be open and say, I choose to interpret this as it's going to be okay and I'm going to move on. And I have these people write whatever they'd say to themselves as the parent, stick it on their refrigerator, and they can have lists, you know, but stick it in front of them.
Good idea.
Yeah, and so they can refer to it on an ongoing basis. So, yeah. Go ahead.
People are building their lives.
Yeah.
And you want to build it in a way that you can respect it, not just grab at what your neighbor has or your friend tells you or something you see on TV. You know, every heart knows, every soul, every individual knows what dignifies themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they like and they know what they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems with being a new adult and young is you don't have the resources. And a lot of times when you express yourself, it's going to be, you'll find resistance. Don't be, your mother will say, don't be an artist, be an accountant. Or your father will say, how can you think dance is going to help you? Work in a bank. And you have this drive, this dream, this thing that makes your heart glow,
right,
and you're getting resistance. So
exactly.
The only thing you can do is never yield that glow. You might have to dignify it only in the quiet and the peace and the sanctuary of your own thoughts, but you should never give it up. Now, maybe you want to be a great singer. Maybe you don't have a good voice. Doesn't mean you can't be a promoter or work the board or make the CDs or do the odd advertising posters. You can be involved in a part of life that attracts you.
Right,
and then
exactly.
You can sing at home.
Right. No, exactly. And being, you know, this is something I work with people too, is I watch, you know, the American Idol show. I mean, someone who thinks they're a really wonderful singer, you know, they shouldn't have their life destroyed by someone like Simon Cowell. You know,
well,
or the things in their life that, you know, they try something and they put it out there, and just because other people may say things, you can find, you know, other opportunities. You can find other avenues within the same passion, as you just mentioned.
You know, when someone is just talking about American Idol, I'm not that much of a viewer. But, you know, if a person can get a rise out of an audience being mean,
exactly.
Maybe they have certain talent. But it's a limited talent.
Yes.
Because if they tried to get that same rise in energy with wisdom and kindness and love and support and promotion and getting the people excited and being wise, that to me is a better way to do it, not just taking a cheap shot.
Right,
that's what I think is. It's a cheap shot, not a thoughtful opportunity. Just kicking people when they're down. That doesn't appeal to me.
And me either. And you know, success is a lot more, as you say in your book. It's a lot more than money and fame. It's not about bragging rights, you say, or great public accomplishments, as we were just talking about. It's a lot more. It's about going within.
Absolutely, it's not about bragging rights, and it's not about these great accomplishments we're talking about, because that's what people see in the newspapers. What it is, it's simply, it's your love, being in touch with your heart and having love in your desires. Very importantly, your involvement in life,
exactly.
Participating, finding out where things that are happening that you love are going on, and then going there and participate.
Right.
And it's always your desire to do well.
Right.
Now, success, we think very often it's about money, but success is really not how well you manage your money. What success is about, it's how well you manage your love.
Right.
So everyone can be successful. And it's interesting because we have all these celebrities. And we like to pay attention to them because they symbolize, they personalize success.
Right.
And every one of us, the individual, wants to be successful. And,
sure.
And that's why we like our heroes. They personalize courage.
Exactly.
And life demands courage from us, and we all want to be courageous. So we look at these people. But I think you have to be discerning. You know, even at a young age, when you start to become a new adult, you make a choice about what the result of this person's actions is. Is it the George Clooney who whether he's successful at helping people or not, he wants to help people.
Sure.
Or the Angelina Jolie, who knows what mistakes she made or what success she has. In her heart, she wants at least one other life to be better.
Yes.
And you know, it's easy to watch someone stumble and fall down and you say, "You're not successful." I can laugh at you. I can ridicule you.
Right.
But none of us is perfect. We all stumble and we all trip we all burp at the wrong time and we all
course.
Wear last year's fashion.
That's right.
And we don't want to be caught at doing that. But if you have a sense of humility, what humility is and what humiliation is, it's just having a sense of your humanness, that you're an animal, you're part of this planet.
Yeah.
And you know, you should be able to laugh at the things that humiliate you.
Right, exactly.
And then go on, you know, because you know what goals mean and what positive thinking means is you're always at a starting point.
Right.
So if something knocks you down and if something embarrasses you, it happens. It's silly. We love to see the movies where people are embarrassed and silly. But when it happens to you, and it will happen to you, and sometimes you know when you're young it happens a lot, and when you're old and certain body functions they're silly. You have to learn to laugh at yourself because you have to love yourself.
Exactly.
But then you say, "That's enough," and then you go on and move forward. And the people who don't say that's enough, those are people who lack something in their lives, and they're always trying to create their their status by diminishing stud elf.
Well, that's exactly right.
And the best they'll ever be is a little better than somebody else who's been diminished. They'll never reach the ability of that heartstring, and they'll never get out of that cycle of selfishness and a lack of ability themselves.
Right.
It's hard when they're around other people who don't have the ability to stick up for themselves.
Right.
But that attitude, that ridiculing people just to feel self-important.
Sure.
That it's not a way to build a life. It really won't take a person much further than that.
I agree with you, Mark, and I try to teach people the same thing. And I was talking about, you know, self-forgiveness a little earlier. You have to be self-forgiving no matter what those messages you got when you were growing up were negative, and you bought into a lot of those, you know, negative messages, and then some of the bullies at school, or the siblings who were cruel to you and beat you up, or the parents weren't nice. You know, we buy into all of these negative things, and then we believe it, and then in order to, you know, function, like you said, you know, we have to put others down. And that's about low self-esteem, not loving yourself. That's about all the pain. And being able, what I teach, to laugh at yourself and saying, oh, I'm such a clown. You know, I do these goofy things, and I look so dumb the other day, and I said such a goofy. That's okay, like you said. We all do that. That's what's so wonderful about it is, you know, it's fun to laugh at yourself and say, you know what, I forgive myself. I'm not talking about antisocials, people who commit crimes that are evil.
Right.
But, you know, just self-acceptance is really, you know, an important thing.
And then you give it a certain amount of time, and then it's over, because you want to move forward. It, you know, any more than it's just a consciousness of your human nature.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes, you know, you'll be with somebody and you're doing fine, but a relative or a friend acts abominably, and that reflects on you. What
exactly.
Are you supposed to do?
Right.
You know, sometimes the emotional lasts an hour, a day, whatever, but you have to get beyond. You know, a lot of times it's easy for me to say, move beyond this emotion. It's not always easy to do.
It's sure not.
But at least you should know in your mind that it's the right thing to do.
Exactly. So we have been talking about accepting your own spirituality and kind of going within, and whenever you want to call your higher power, and again, you don't have to be a particular religion at all, and this is not a cult, and this is about just finding the goodness and the universal power of love and the God within, and
yes.
And projecting it onto others. And you know, I try to help folks with this through my spiritual psychology as well. And sometimes my people say it sounds like a lot of work. Sounds like a lot of work. Boy, I'm ready for a lot of work. So maybe you can just tell people how to get started, kind of working on this spirit. How to get started? How can they take the baby steps to start going towards positive?
You hit the nail right on the head there, Dr. Michelle. Mm-hmm. It is a lot of work. But what else can you do? You know, if you want your happiness, if you want to be responsible, and responsibility is really the control that you have over yourself, you have to work at it. And you shouldn't feel like that you're a victim of work. Work is going to give you what you want in life, so you should appreciate it. It's going to pay off. This what we call working on yourself, it works. You see, that's the good news. Self-examination with honesty, we were talking about patience,
yeah.
And self-kindness, very important, self-kindness, it works. So,
yes.
So it's important. We were talking about training your mind. The way the way you start is those affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
It's easiest. You really don't have to have this critical understanding of love and spirituality that seems so vague and hard to handle.
Right.
What you can do is understand life skills and try to get God involved in your life through a conscious thought. And, you know, if you feel that the prayers, let me tell you a little story about making prayer a part of your life and the sincerity. I was once watching this TV show from Washington, D.C., and they had all these congressmen and senators and great national religious leaders. And one of them says, we have people praying 24 hours a day for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought for a minute, well, is that better than 23 hours a day? Or better than 20 hours a day? Or better than an hour?
Right.
Or is it better than a moment?
Right.
And I realized in that it's not the time in prayer that a person spends. It's the sincerity in their prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's the faith that they have in their prayers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if someone feels it's important that they go to church twice a day or whatever it is, mm-hmm. I respect it. I honor that. I honor them in their sincerity,
right,
that this is a proper way of behavior in respect to their religion, in respect to God, to do that.
Yes.
But it'll be that kernel of sincerity, that faith is as small as a mustard seed, the sincerity.
The sincerity.
That sincerity in the prayer, which reaches God and is responded to by God.
Well, that,
so
I agree.
Have faith in your prayers.
That's right, faith, and it's, you know, usually in all these books, of course, that are coming out, the old concept, well, of course, we have The Secret right now, which is a really popular book,
mm-hmm.
and. You know, the law of attraction, and it's all about the thought and the power of emotion and belief and faith behind those thoughts. And again, folks, this is not a religious program. This is a psychological program, and as usual, we're always trying to talk about how to help people. I'm running out of time here, but Mark, I really want to tell people how they can get in touch with you and how they can find your book.
Great.
It's A Modern Guide to Finding Yourself, Spiriting Around. And,
right. The title is... Spiriting Around, mm-hmm. A Modern Guide to Finding Yourself, and a great way is to come visit me on the on my website, www.spiritingaround.com, and there's a connect to my MySpace page and my blog and some interesting things there. And there's a page, a button on the landing page. You can order a book. And also, Amazon, wonderful. They discount the book. There's some interesting reviews people have given about the book, some nice things people have said. And any of your favorite local bookstore, or Barnes & Noble, or Borders, they won't have the book on the shelf, but you can order Spiriting Around. Just tell them Mark Tombeck, Spiriting Around. They'll pull it up in the computer. You'll have it in 3-4 days, 5 days, whatever it is. And I think people will find it worth waiting for. I think they'll like it.
I think they'll love it. It's a wonderful book. And thank you so much for being my guest today, Mark.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Dr. Michelle.
All right. And have a wonderful day. And thank you for inspiring a lot of my listeners. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you. You're welcome.
All righty. Again, it's Spiriting Around, A Modern Guide to Finding Yourself by Mark Tombeck. He's the author, and you can find him again at www.spiritingaround.com. I am Dr. Michelle on the couch. I'm not on the couch today. I'm in the chair, but you're going to have to leave the couch because I'm going bye-bye. TJ McCormick, our fun guy. This guy is the sweetest. He's cute, too, girls. And he's funny as well. So enjoy him. He's with you for the next couple of hours, and I'll be back. Of course, we'll be playing the show again tomorrow at 11 in the morning. Dr. Michelle here on the couch. By the way, if you want to contact me again, let me give you my email address. It's docmichelle, D-O-C, Michelle, at AOL.com. My website is drmichelletherapy.com, and that's D-R, Michelle Therapy. You don't have to spell that out. Have a wonderful day, wonderful weekend, too. And by the way, TJ is next with his wonderful wit. We're going to do a little music here. Pull up the music. Where can we find the music? Where's the music? TJ's laughing with me, going, there we go, baby. Oh, would you sing for me? I love your voice. Yeah. That would be lovely.
Fly me.
That's great. All right. Fly me to the moon. That's a great song. Let's see if we can pull something up here. All right. All right. TJ, can you help me with this?
Sure. Let's see. One of these will work.
That's a good song.
Let's see.
All right. Dr. Michelle is off the couch. Oh, there we are. Oh, good song. Thank y'all.